And good evening, children of the stars. Welcome back to another wonderful night of Cosmic Code Radio here on the BBS. Dr. Toy will be joining me on September 2nd. He is off this evening and in Toronto. But I do have an incredible lineup for you tonight. We will be joined in a little while by Christina George and Jennifer Newell. These two ladies do a radio show called Strong Women of the Paranormal. I had a wonderful opportunity to watch these two ladies lecture at the Quest for Truth conference back in June with Dr. Toy, and they were incredible. I enjoyed listening to them, and they have an incredible wealth of information to share with us tonight on the paranormal world. So it's definitely a show not to be missed tonight. I'm very excited to have them on, and they'll join me in about 15 minutes. Now, I want to get to a few things. Dr. Toy wanted me to read an important memo, and of course, if you do own moon power, you've already read that important memo. But if you don't have moon power, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the important memo that he's posted. We have an SOS to the World coming up for August 28th, 29th, and 30th. It's one of the quatrains is Upset Dragon, Japan Sunrise. This has to do with the cosmos, nukes, anything with UFOs, earthquakes. Basically, this is Uranus power at work. You will see the full unleash of Uranus in effect in this time frame. But before that date arrives, I do want to warn you guys, we are going into another Plutonic phase, and that starts from August 2nd through the 26th. Where Pluto and Jupiter will be in full swing. And for those of you who know, be very careful what you say and do at this moon phase, especially if you're a police officer. You be very aware, because more cops lose their life in this phase than any other phase. So if you are a police officer, I highly suggest you get the book Moon Power 2012. I know a couple of police officers here in the local area who wish to remain anonymous, who do own moon power, thanks to me, and swear by it. It's too bad they can't convince their colleagues that it works. Anywho, be aware, August 22nd through the 26th, and I do want to throw something in on a personal note. I had to be crazy to do this, but I'm doing it. I checked my stars, and even though I'm in a Plutonic phase, and I've said this phase is the definite dance with the devil, I have decided to take a haunted tour of the USS Hornet that is based out here in Alameda, California. Just so happens that there happens to be a heavy metal concert that night, too. So I thought, wow, heavy metal concert, haunted ghost tour, that is full Pluto in action. So wish me luck. I'm going to go and take that tour. I prefer to do that when all the bands are playing. Hopefully they'll let me so that I can kind of explore it and whatnot while everyone's down in the other rooms partying. I will be sober and having a good time exploring all the apparitions. Hopefully I'll get to see. Wishful thinking, but with you cosmic coders know the stars, you've read them, and you know the power of Pluto. So pray for me and hope I can return safe. I know I will, but anyhow, I do want to get to something. We do have on the 31st, we have 2012's only, it's a new moon, not a new moon, it's a blue moon. The only blue moon of 2012 is my understanding. Now, on a positive note, this full moon, it's a full moon and a blue moon. It's going to be in this religious sign of Pisces. Now, I'm going to get to the negative in a minute. I want to hit the positives first. You know that saying, oh, you just have to do it every once in a blue moon. Well, do it, okay? Once in a blue moon. It's definitely an opportunity to do whatever your heart desires. It's still full moon, and so you could get away with doing just about anything you want as long as it's legal. Anyhow, On an astrological aspect of this, it's a super day for any kind of photography or making images. So if you're an artist, Pisces rules that world, the art world. The main signs that are really in tune with the moon are Pisces, Scorpio, Cancer, Capricorn, and Taurus. Now, unfortunately, during this moon phase, Virgo, Gemini, and Sagittarius might become a little accident prone. So just be careful around the 31st. You know, I don't know, I'm not saying anyone's going to get in an accident, but what I'm saying is you might walk down the hallway and stub your toe. Ouch, I've done that. It hurts. So we're a little more accident prone if you're a Virgo, a Gemini, or a Sagittarius. On a negative aspect, you know, I have to give the good with the bad. And Dr. Torrey wanted me to discuss this evening. Those of you who have moon power know that the energy that's coming on the 31st, and I'm going to say even between the 28th through the 31st, the energy that's coming is the exact same kind of energy that the World Trade Center back in September 11th of 2001 happened. This is the same kind of energy. Now, I'm not saying, and Dr. Torrey's not saying that there's going to be a terrorist attack here in the United States. That's not what he's saying. But I want to read you what Pisces rules so you have a little bit understanding for those of you who do watch the news and you're aware of what's going on in the world. Pisces rules the Middle East and religion, along with drugs and alcohol, deception. It also rules the Pope and church and oil. But secret affairs are on the agenda. It says here, many souls will suffer this disturbing lunation, and you must be ready to provide as much help as needed and do all you can not to lose faith in the future. Expect the general feeling of hopelessness to plague the media and church authorities, and deceiving news will take place and affect many of us. Some desperate souls are going to fall for Neptune's suicidal tendencies, and some will end up in jail or mental institutions. This trend will be very difficult for some, but don't lose faith in yourself or the universe. Get all the help you can to fight Neptune's depressing tendencies. Now, on a positive note, expect anything surprising, even incredible, to happen soon. See in action the real power of both Uranus ruling sudden release of energy and Saturn forcing the government to take drastic action. So we have Uranus, the planet of sudden release of energy, in the political sign of Saturn. I think Israel's getting ready to bomb Iran. That's what I really, that's just my opinion. This isn't Dr. Torrey's speculation. This is mine as a student of his. There's some things that I've been watching in the news, and that's not on mainstream news. I read into other things and I look at other things, but, yeah, I think in the next 10 to 12 days, there's going to be a war breaking out in the Middle East. And unfortunately, it's the perfect thing, because of all places for a war to break out, it's going to break out in the very part of the world where all religion has been birthed. The Middle East is a Pisces nation, and it's all of the Middle East. It's not just Israel. All of the Middle East, Iran, Iraq, all Jordan, Syria, all of that is ruled by Pisces, the deceiving Neptunian religion. Pisces. So hope I'm wrong, but once I read Moon Power and I started looking at some of the news channels like Al Jazeera and a couple other different channels, I thought, this is very interesting. I'm worried, because you know the USA always gets involved. Can we really afford another war? I mean, God. Anyway, and I am playing a lot of Rage Against the Machine tonight. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but after the last couple of days on my Facebook page, and I guess this is one politician's favorite band, so I kind of find the humor in it, because I highly doubt he really listens to the lyrics. And I am talking about Paul Ryan. I highly doubt he listens to the lyrics of Rage Against the Machine, because they're pretty much about him. not directly at him, but all politicians. This is a very political band, and they sing a lot about, you know, they steer extremely to the left. Their music is very political, but they don't necessarily take on a political party at all. Like I've said, and I'm sure this band believes too, both parties are a two-headed, one-party system. But we are playing some Rage tonight, and I queued in a little bit during the show, and I'll be queuing in a little bit another song when I have the Strong Women of the Paranormal on in just a few minutes. And I think I've covered everything as far as the stars are concerned. The only other thing I do want to reiterate to you is 22nd through the 26th, we are in a platonic phase. So all of you out there, please, please be very, very careful out there and be safe and don't go into any strange places. If you're unfamiliar with your surroundings, don't go. Always go with your gut instinct because it's usually right. But anyway, let's get those wonderful ladies, the Strong Women of the Paranormal, on. I'm going to have some music cued in, and we shall get them on in just a second. Let me type in here. There we go.
It's a beautiful world we live in, a sweet romantic place, beautiful people everywhere, the way they show they care makes me want to say it's a beautiful world.
And we are back here on Cosmic Code Radio. Good evening, Christina. And Jennifer, are you there, love?
We are.
All right. Good evening, ladies. How are you this evening?
Good. Good.
Very good. It's a real honor to have you here this evening. For some of my listeners who don't know what you do, I was explaining a little earlier that you do have a radio show called Strong Women of the Paranormal, and you're also paranormal investigators and psychics. First off, could you tell the audience, where did you two ladies meet, and how long have you been doing this?
Okay, well, we've been investigating together now for a little over 4 years. We used to be psychics for another group. And the first time that we met, we worked together. Jennifer and I were the only two psychics there, and we worked on an unsolved murder case in Benicia, California.
Oh, okay.
We had a case there. It was an amazing case. We were actually not given any information, and the family actually gave the group manager some false information since he said he was bringing psychics. So just to see how good we really were. And so we walked around separately. This was the very first time we'd ever met each other or worked together. And it was just worked so well together. What I picked up, she picked up. And what I didn't, you know, which either of us didn't pick up, the other one would. We ended up later getting together and talking to the client. They were astonished at how correct we were and that we picked up stuff that, you know, she had even tried to throw us off. And we gave them all the information that we picked up on. And the good news is that not too long after we did the investigation, we were absolutely right. There were four different people that were involved. All four of them were arrested. And the first one just went to trial recently. Now, this was back in 2008 when we...
And is this where you two ladies met? This was on this case?
Yes.
Wow.
That was start of many, many cases. We just found out that that case just finally went to court, and one of the first of the four was sentenced to 24 years for his part in it. And we have been investigating ever since, and we decided to kind of branch off and do our own thing, and we started our own paranormal group, which is PPRS, Psychic Paranormal Research Society, and we started Strong Women of the Paranormal so that we could, you know, get the information out to people and get an avenue to talk to them that way and get the evidence out.
Well, that's very cool. That's incredible. When did you discover, you know, your abilities to do this? I mean, was it at a very young age? You know, I've read all kinds of different stories about, and some people, you know, discover this when they're children, and others, it takes them in their 20s, 30s, and 40s to find out that they have this ability.
All right. Well, I'll let Jennifer go ahead and start first, and then I can kind of tell you mine.
Mine actually began when I was 13.
Okay.
I had drowned. I went through the near-death experience and survived. What had happened is I drowned in an old 80s-style jacuzzi.
Oh, wow.
And I was swimming with a friend. I was 13 years old, and I had given up. And everything was black because my eyes were closed, and I accepted death. And as soon as I did, everything went white, pure white. I was surrounded just by this blinding white light. And next thing I know, I'm above myself, above the jacuzzi, watching the friend that I was with standing over me, not knowing what to do, and my body just laying there.
Oh, wow.
And I noticed I was floating. I watched myself for a little while. I noticed that I was floating up. And when I had done that, I had put my hand in front of me. And in front of my hand was still the shape of a hand, but I could see through it as if it were dust particles. And at that point, I looked back down at myself, and everything went black. And I started fighting again. And she saved my life. And ever since then, things just started happening. I started having premonitions, which I no longer have. And I was starting to know things that I never knew before. People would tell me about loved ones they'd lost and questions that they had unanswered. And I just seemed to know the answers as if they were talking to, as if I was the person they were talking to or talking about.
Wow. Wow, that's intense. That's incredible. In fact, I have the Cosmic Code chat room up too, and someone's mentioning it, that it's very common for people with near-death experiences to come back and have these abilities. So,
I think that I was very lucky in the fact that I had also grown up in a haunted house.
Oh, so wow.
This being able to, these new experiences weren't scary for me. They were more of just another way of communicating or, you know, dealing with what was already going on around me.
So it wasn't a frightening thing like they you know, trump up in Hollywood or anything like that. It was not a scary experience.
No, it wasn't like all of a sudden I was bombarded by, you know, spirits and they were all standing in my room. It wasn't like that at all.
Wow, that's an incredible, that's incredible. Jennifer, did you want to, or do you have any more to add to it, or?
No, I'll let Christina go.
Okay.
And mine is similar, but a little different. I actually have been able to see spirits since I was, as long as I can remember, since I was very, very young. And when I was very young, they were my friends. I had no fear whatsoever when I was younger. But by the time that I got into my teens, it started changing for me. I started, instead of seeing them kind of like, you know, you and me, I started seeing a lot of spirits that, how they looked when they passed. And I was getting a lot of traumatic ones. I was in and out of the hospital quite a bit as I was a teenager, and they would come to me in my room, and I would have people that would have half their head, you know, gone, or their eyes messed up, or it was
wow.
Very horrific for me. so much so that I really started kind of seeking some help because I really didn't understand the, you know, why it had changed and what was going on. I first went to my mom, and she actually took me to a psychiatrist, and they, you know, their idea was to put me on some meds.
Yes, that's always their answer for everything.
Yeah. So then I was brought up Catholic, so I went to my priest and to try to get some guidance there, and all I got was to be told to never speak of it in the anybody in the congregation again, or I would be excommunicated. So on my own, I kind of, through meditation stuff, was able to get a hold of it and really kind of shut my abilities down. I just did not want to be bothered. I just did not think that it was anything good. And then later after that, I had a severe car accident where I as well had a near-death experience. And when I had the car accident, I don't remember too much. I was kind of in and out. They took me to surgery. I had a ruptured spleen. And during it, all of a sudden, I remembered that I was all of a sudden looking at myself above me. And I could see everybody working on me. And then just that quickly, all of a sudden, I was completely surrounded by bright light as well. And some people that had, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, they see a tunnel with a light at the end, or they'll see, be in a room. For me, there was no ceiling. There was no floor. There was no walls. It was just bright white light. And I could see family members. A boyfriend that got killed right in front of me.
Oh my God.
And I felt very, very comfortable there to the point that I didn't want to go back. And when I was told that I had to go back, that it wasn't my time, I somehow thought I had some kind of control over that and decided I wanted to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm staying here. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I was basically told that, you know, this was a blessing that I was given, and the abilities I had, I needed to use to go back and to help people to not only heal from losing, you know, loved ones, but also to educate them of what was on the other side. So when I woke up from this whole situation, my abilities were no longer shut down. And from that point on, I've never been able to shut them down again. And so since then, for the last 10 years, this is actually what I've been doing. On and off. I just got into paranormal investigating professionally, you know, 4 years ago so that I could utilize it, you know.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of my story as well.
Well, those are incredible stories. And there's a lot of stories that we've heard of, you know, where people have near-death experiences and they, after their experience, they seem to have these abilities. So I think that's incredible. And what you guys do is an incredible service to the world, because you don't just deal with the paranormal and the investigations of UFOs. I mean, you literally help people, is my understanding, with like, people who have died and crossed over, and you kind of give people closure.
Absolutely. That's the main, if you know, purpose, is that if it's very hard when you lose someone, because you don't understand and you think that you're never going to see them again, and you're lost without them, and there's just nothing left. You know, there's nowhere for them to be. There's no way for you to talk to them. You're just without them for the rest
right.
of your life. And it's not true. And it's, you know, we help people by not only, I guess, by helping them understand where their loved one has gone, like what their passing experience would be based on our own, and to reassure them that their loved ones are never really gone, that you can always talk to them. And there are, you know, several ways to do that, and that you're not, you know, they didn't go to this horrible place, or they're not ghosts, or they're, you know, things like that. Like, people just come up with the worst, and we just help put their minds at ease.
Well, I think, too, our religious leaders fill people's minds with some of the worst information and knowledge there is. And that's just my personal opinion. But it seems like you guys do a good thing in giving people closure, and that's the most important part when, you know, a loved one has been lost.
Well, you know, Linda, one thing I wanted to add is, you know, a big thing with paranormal investigating, you know, we get a lot of clients that, you know, their lights will go on and off, or, you know, they'll feel a presence or something, and automatically their brain goes, it's got to be something bad. Something's trying to get them. We've even had clients that have said, you know, oh, I felt like it was trying to squeeze me to death and squeeze all the air out of me and kill me. It's got to be something bad. And, you know, because we are both psychics and we do have a lot of people with abilities in our group and we put it together that way, although, you know, most investigators go out and just try to validate the actual activity.
Right.
Do that as well, but we take it one step farther because we can tell them actually, you know, if they have activity, if they've got, you know, any kind of spirits there, if so, who they are, what they want. And a lot of times it's just, you know, either they don't know they're gone or, you know, they're confused and they're not really sure what's going on. Sometimes it's family members just trying to console them or just try to give a message. And you would be surprised that when we're able to give that kind of information, instead of just saying, oh, yes, you've got activity and we can try to get rid of it, you know, they actually understand who it is, why they're there, what's going on. And you will see with the majority of them, the mood changes. They're no longer so scared of what's happening, even to the point that sometimes they'll say when we get there, whatever it is, we want it gone. And then we'll say, well, it's grandma or someone's, you know, it's a family member. And then they'll right. say, well, never mind. You can leave them here. You know,
it's just grandma. It's okay. It's cute. Wow.
Like, people, you can't see it. You have these things happening to you. You can't see it. You've seen a ton of movies and you're immediately scared. And
right.
we also help them understand that these are just people. You know, it's not that, you know, there's demons or something. That energy or whatever you want to call it is out to harm them or take them over or possess them in any way. It's just people. You're living in their space as well, and they just want to be heard. And once, you know, the occupant of the home realizes that, oh, it's kind of like having a roommate, they're a little bit more comfortable with it.
Now, in your experiences, have you ever dealt with something a little darker, like, you know, I don't like to say the word demon, but have you ladies ever had experienced that in someone's home or wherever?
We actually don't use the word demons.
Yeah.
We don't believe that really takes people into dark places.
It does. That's why I didn't want to say the word, but I didn't really know how else to put it to make
it. We usually will just kind of say, you know, there's some negative energy here or, you know, stuff like that. And I mean, yes, we have had experiences like that. We've had clients. I will tell you, you know, when people, this is the worst part about, you know, reality TV or all these ghost hunting shows is that, you know, every single thing they get, it is shown to be so scary and that people are being attacked and, you know, their lives are in jeopardy and all these kind of things. And, you know, we've done hundreds of investigations over the years. And I would tell you that we could probably on both hands count how many times we've actually had a case that's been something really dark and really bad, you know, that we've had to deal with. Pretty much it's just a lot of, based on the clients, obviously, as well, is just, you know, either they die traumatically and they haven't really figured it out, or, they're needing some help or have a message to convey. And they, you know.
And they don't know any other way to
right.
get your attention.
That makes sense.
And, you know, if the one thing is poking and prodding at you or showing themselves in the middle of the night or touching you seems to get you to acknowledge them, yeah, they're going to keep doing it. And that's when people automatically think that it's negative energy. But we've come across actual negative energy. But a lot of times, I don't know how Christina feels, but for myself, I went into a home where there was a lot of negative energy going on. And they were seeing this black mass. It was hovering above their beds. It was a husband and wife. She was scared to death. She had been, actually, her leg was pulled off the bed. And there was no ghostly activity whatsoever. It was just the negative energy that they had created themselves with the stress of their lives, their bills, their marriage, and even things in her past that were starting to come up and resonate, they had kind of created their own negative atmosphere. And that it can turn physical. So energy is, it's a very powerful thing.
Oh, absolutely. Both positive and negative.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, I think we already answered this question, but I have to ask it again. And I think this is the same one you were talking about earlier, but out of all the investigations you've done, is there one particular one that has stayed with you till this very day that you just can't shake?
Yeah, I would think it probably would be that one case. I mean, we went into this house and the murder had just happened. I mean, it had only been maybe a few months. And like, we walked into this house, crime tape was still up, blood spatter.
Oh my God.
They had cut out part of the floor where it had, you know, this blood had soaked up where he had died. I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, and the thing is once again, although it is good to be a psychic and you can be able to connect with all the stuff, some of the stuff that we have to endure and we have to see and have to experience, it is pretty horrific on the other side. But thankfully, we were able to give enough information that not only did it validate it to the family, but as well the police. And, you know, it had a good outcome. And that's the important part of what we did.
That's the main thing. Right. And you guys are based out of Sacramento, California. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
Now, when you go and do these investigations, do you stay strictly in Sacramento? Do you travel through the whole state? Do you go to other states?
We do all over, you know, and it kind of just depends on how far. If it's too far out, because we do this all volunteer status, so we are never paid and we never accept any money for anything that we do. So sometimes if it's, we network a lot. So a lot of times if it's too far out for us, then we will contact another group that we feel comfortable and we know that they're experienced to send them out to help these people. And, you know, we kind of build our own networking groups for all different kinds of things. So when we have like dark energies, we might have somebody that we call in. So we have specialists, just like if, you know, you went to the doctor and you had something and it needed a specialist, we have the same kind of thing. But we'll pretty much go wherever we're needed, or if, like I said, if it's outside of where we can make it, then, you know, we'll send somebody else. But we're always down for a good road trip.
Hey, I love road trips. Road trips are fun. Now, you guys just came back. I don't know if it was a road trip, but I don't know. I didn't cover this with you beginning of the show to see if you wanted to discuss this, but you made a trip to Oregon recently. Are you able to discuss that on air?
Yeah, I can talk about it a little bit. We have some stuff coming out. Jennifer and I, when we were at the Press for Truth conference back in June, we met Ground Zero's radio show's host, Clyde Lewis, out of Portland, Oregon. And we were talking to him for quite a while, and he was very interested in what we did. And I had an upcoming trip planned to Oregon. So I said, well, you know, maybe we can get together and we can investigate something. And he took me up on the offer. We set up for me to go out there. We went and I teamed up with Northwest Recon. It's a paranormal group out of Portland, Oregon, as well as Clyde and a couple other people. And we went to a location called Fat City. It's a restaurant out there. And at the time, I didn't know anything about it, but we went in. Jennifer, unfortunately, wasn't able to go because she had school, so I went by myself to represent Strong Women of the Paranormal. But I got out there, and it was really, as soon as I got in, I could feel all kinds of stuff going on. I was kind of bombarded. I got attacked by an entity there.
God.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Oh. That was just the first night, and that was just for our pre-walkthrough. That
and
was
Fat City's a restaurant?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my.
It's more like diner, almost. Yeah. Kind of like a 60s diner.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I went through Saturday night. You know, Clyde came out, and we did the investigation, and we got some amazing stuff. I don't want to put it all out there yet.
No, you don't have to. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But I saw your post, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should ask her about that.
Yeah, I actually just wrote up an article, so it actually is on our Facebook page. So okay. If anybody wants to check it out, it's there, you know, as well. But we are actually going to be doing a show on that and having everybody. We actually used some new techniques, which we used a reverse language technology. And it is a software where we do the audio recordings, and it actually will pull out the EVPs from it, and then it plays it forward as well as in reverse. And you can actually hear conversations going on. But we got a whole lot. Everything that I picked up on, they was told after we, you know, collaborated and everything that I was dead on. That I will just tell you that there was a woman and a man that I had picked up from there on there. And I got a really bad headache and a really bad stomach pain really, really quickly. And we found out that the woman I was picking up on, Vivian, happened to be the woman that died there. She was shot in the stomach.
Oh, God.
And Bob was the other person I picked up, which happened to be Robert, which was her so-called male friend that was murdered with her. And nobody knew. When they opened the restaurant the night she worked there, I guess, and the next morning they came in and they found her and this man at the bottom of the basement stairs deceased and shot. So you know, we'll be having a video coming up on that, but yeah, it was amazing. And we're thinking about going back out there in a few months to help to cross over the people, the spirits that were trapped there, because there were quite a few that were trapped.
Wow.
Help.
Wow. That's intense. I want to get to the Quest for Truth conference that you had brought up. I met Clyde Lewis there as well for the first time. I actually met a lot of incredible people. I didn't get the opportunity to physically introduce myself to you ladies, but I did get a chance to hear your lecture on orbs. And I'm really curious about this topic for my own curiosity, because I've gone through pictures just recently. And I've seen some really weird stuff in one of my family members, a relative's home. And I've always felt that this home has had spirits in it as well. What's your take on orbs? What are real orbs, and how do we identify real orbs compared to just, you know, something from the lens, and, you know, a glitch in the lens or whatever?
Well, a lot of people... I think it's funny how people dismiss them so fast as being natural occurrences. And 99% of the time they are. You know, it's light fracture, it's dust. There's so many things that our air that we breathe is mixed with that we don't see with the naked eye that's picked up by the actual camera. And the one thing that I do when I do an investigation is every single picture that I take, I actually enlarge it. And I look at every single orb up close. And a lot of times, an orb, if it's just a singular orb, it's round. A lot of times they look like they have a little nucleus in it. Those I dismiss, because a lot of times those are just fragments in the air.
Okay.
But there are many cases where the orbs actually have features. And I'm not saying like, oh, this orb has a happy face. Anybody can see a happy face in anything. It's when they start carrying features of people like, you know. I did a case out in Orangevale where the property used to be a dairy farm. Well, the orbs that we were getting were orbs of, like, cows. When you blow them up, you saw cows. you see pigs. You see hound dogs. Things like that. And the dairy farm that we thought it was actually a slaughterhouse.
Oh, God.
So...
Ooh.
And another thing is that you also get pictures of orbs that are colored. And a lot of times those are, they could be water molecules in the air, but when they're solid and you see nothing in the middle of them or just straight color, a lot of times that tends to be energy because it's followed with things that we pick up psychically, or they're just completely in odd places. Like they're not mixed in with the rest of the orbs.
Wow. Is it common to see orbs, say, in certain parts of the world where there is more a strong, intense energy? You know, like there's the Shasta area, there's certain Indian reservations around the country where this activity is more prevalent. Is it more prevalent, or can it happen anywhere?
Well, it can happen anywhere. You know, I get them every time I take a picture. But orbs, from what we believe, are just, it's energy. And places that have high energy, like Sonoma, places that have UFO sightings, you'll see a lot more orbs, the colored ones, where it kind of looks like just a full ball of light. You get a lot of those in high energy places. And it's a place, I honestly can't sit here and say, you know, oh, this ball of this orb, which is completely red, is Joe Schmo's ghost. From, you know what, it can be the energy built up in that particular area, either given the way the rocks are colliding against each other with the way the earth moves, or people's energy in themselves. I just know that they're energy.
Wow, that's incredible. I find that fascinating. I actually have a question for you guys, and this is on a personal note, and I've already talked to Christina about it on the phone the other day. I have a picture that I took in, like I said, a family member of mine's home that is believed to be haunted, and it was a couple of years ago that it was out of the mouths of babe, meaning one of my kids sat there and looked at the picture and said, "Look, Santa Claus is in the mirror." What? You know, what the heck is she talking about? Santa Claus is in the mirror. I took the picture. I'm looking at it and I'm going, holy cow, there's a bearded man in the mirror. And I don't know if it's a reflection off the glass, but it's a picture I really want to send to you guys this week sometime. Have you ever heard of things like that?
I will say yes, because I actually, when I was up in Oregon, I was once again talking with some of the people from the other group, and they actually get a lot of stuff that's taken in mirrors. You know, it's amazing the stuff that you get that you wouldn't expect. I mean, obviously with anything that we take, when we take pictures, we try to take, you know, multiple pictures at the same time. So a lot of times if something comes up, we'll look at the picture prior and the picture after to see if we had it consecutively in other pictures. And if we don't, then we know it's an anomaly. So then we try to recreate it. I mean, people think because we're psychics and we're paranormal investigators that we just want to go out there and make everybody think that there's all kinds of ghosts and, you know, just put a Hollywood spin to this. And it's not that way at all. We're probably two of the biggest skeptics because we go through so much trying to recreate and debunk things when we, you know, get them, if it doesn't, you know, resonate really with what we're picking up on. So, you know, we're very careful about what we put out. And as you saw from our presentation at Quest for Truth, you know, we want other investigators to be really careful as well of what they're putting out. Because, you know, for all the people out there that don't have the information that we do or the abilities that we do, they look to movies, shows, reality TV, you know, all those kinds
right.
of to know how to do this stuff. And so, you know, we've had many times where people will be walking up a dirt road or in a dirt with a lot of dust and stuff in the cemeteries. And they'll pick up, they'll, you know, I'll see them on their page and they'll say, "Oh my gosh, look at all the spirits we caught." you know, and you see them walking up this dirt road, four or five of them. Well, you know, first of all, yeah, you're going to have all kinds of, you know, little bubbles on there, but the majority of it is going to be dust and dirt that you're, you know, scouring around walking through everything. So we contain everything. We make sure that when we take pictures that, you know, nobody's walking around, that anything that is in the air might have settled by that time. You know, so we have a lot of different ways to really kind of check and double check our stuff and not just put anything out there.
And that's one thing I wanted to hit on is that we scrutinize everything, even our own psychic abilities.
Right.
If we're doing a case and say I pick up on something, but I'm getting nothing on my EVP recorders, I'm getting nothing in my photos, then I truly just chalk it up to my imagination. I need something to back myself up. And a lot of times me and Christina will we'll do a walkthrough separately. One of us will go in the house first, the other second, and then we'll convey outside to see what we've picked up. And if we pick up on the same thing, then that's where we try to target like most of our pictures and EVP recorders and stuff like that. But again, if we don't get any substantial evidence on our equipment to even what we both agree upon, we still don't publish it.
That makes sense. I mean, you want to be 100% accurate. I actually have a lot of respect for that. Because there's some people out there that'll just put it out there and, you know, question themselves but still do it just so that they can get it out there.
Right.
So I respect that totally. And, you know, I operate like that when I'm doing astrology readings. I look at every angle and aspect of someone's chart before I ever post or type up anything for them. It's just me being a perfectionist and doing the best job I can at what I do. And I think what you do is very commendable. There should be more people in your line of work that do this with integrity and honesty.
Thank you very much.
Ladies, where can we listen to your show? You have two shows, my understanding, right?
Yeah, well, we have Strong Women of the Paranormal, which is Jennifer and I, and that is on Ustream under Strong Women of the Paranormal. It's a Ustream video show, and we will actually be debuting in a week, relaunching, actually, because we had to kind of take a break. Get some other stuff going. And then I have another show which is on the Spectra Network, and that is Paranormal Connections. And then you can also find us on Facebook. Our website's under construction right now, so we will have one out very soon. But for right now, PPRS, which is Psychic Paranormal Research Society on Facebook. We also have a UFO division, which is the exact same thing, PPRS, UFO division. And Strong Women of the Paranormal is our page. And all of our updates and information is there.
All right. I hope everyone got all that. And you said the show Strong Women of the Paranormal is on Ustream?
Correct.
Ustream. And now, is that a video? Is it that a video show or is it radio?
No, it's both. It's just like live stream. We can produce and show everything live. So we do investigations where we'll be bringing out, you know, the cameras, and so people can watch us while we're doing actual investigations and chat and be able to interact with us.
That's very cool. Now, we have about 10 minutes left. I don't know if any of you out there want to call in and ask a question. Is that okay with you ladies? Not that I'll get any callers tonight, but you never know. We had this discussion earlier, and I said sometimes they call and sometimes they don't. It's the, you know, throw the cards there, throw the dice, so to speak. We have about 10 minutes left, and I've answered or I've asked all my questions. Is there anything you ladies would like to add to tonight's discussion?
Well, it's something I would kind of get on as well is we, as investigators, you know, I just want to make sure that people, not everything that people are experience is paranormal. And that is the biggest thing.
That's
and we
true.
Really just want people to not be so scared. And you'd be surprised. We get a lot of cases as well that, you know, are kind of hoaxes. and people are trying to pull the wool over our eyes. We've had fake possessions and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you'd be surprised at the clients that you get when you're doing stuff like this. And of course, we want to help, so you know, we try to take everybody seriously as we can. But once again, being psychics, you know, you walk in and what we're picking up on is completely different from what, you know, is really going on. You know, we still are very professional. We still do our job, you know, but obviously there's not a whole lot that we can do for these people. But we just hope that the listeners would, you know, understand more about, you know, not to be afraid of all this stuff, because the biggest thing is that when people are having any kind of activity at all, rather be paranormal or not, the fear causes more energy, which if you do have activity, right, it's going to feed off of that. And, you know, people say, I don't understand, it just keeps getting worse and worse. Well, of course, because you're getting more scared and more scared each time something happens, and you're basically feeding it with energy to be able to, you know, keep going. You know, people need to not be so afraid. You know, yes, you need answers. People don't understand, you know, they kind of automatically afraid of whatever they don't know, but it is really changing your perception of death and what happens afterwards.
Oh, that's another thing. We actually, we have a lot of times in our cases where people are freaked out or experiencing activities, and it's where somebody in the house has kind of opened the floodgate themselves, you know, by playing with certain boards or certain items to try to attract this energy. And it turns out to be a can of worms and they don't know what to do. And we'll come in there and try to help them. But one thing I want to say that we do that a lot of other teams don't do is when you do have items like Ouija boards and stuff like that, that you want to get rid of, haunted items, things like that, we actually take those.
Yes.
We have somebody that collects them and keeps them safe. So if, you know, there's Ouija boards or anything that you feel that could be causing your trouble, we also take, you know, we'll take those items out of the home for you.
Ouija boards, are they basically negative energy? I mean, I remember playing with them when I was a little kid at, you know, like slumber parties and stuff, and they kind of freaked me out. I never really liked them.
Well, we all did. I mean,
I think every teenager's done that.
Yeah, I mean, they were put out, you know, even when we were younger, with the board games. I mean, and still to this day, you can get them.
Yeah, they're made by Milton Bradley, I think, or something.
And I currently own one. I currently own the one that I had since I was a teenager.
Really?
I think it's what you make of it.
Right.
That's true.
I think that if you already are bringing it from a bad place, then that's what you're going to manifest. If you're bringing it into a home that already has activity or even has that paranormal doorway open, I think you're just putting out a beacon. But personally, I think it can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not any different than back in the day when people, psychics or people trying to connect would use, you know, dowsing rods or, you know, Ouija boards, whatever. I mean, it's just another avenue to be able to connect. With the Ouija boards, the thing that I have the problem with the Ouija boards is that it is seen to be like a game. So everybody gets involved in it. They have no idea how serious this really is.
Right.
You're opening doors and portals that you have no idea what's going to come through. And, you know, people think it's funny and it's a joke. And then some really serious stuff happens. And we've had plenty of them, you know, where some really bad stuff starts going on and the families are starting to be hurt. And, you know, it's the first thing you're like, okay, well, were you playing with a Ouija board? And yeah, a lot of times it is. So it's not that the Ouija board or any of these items, obviously, any of those are bad. It's just having the knowledge of how to use it right and correctly, how to be able to open, how to be able to close it, you know, et cetera. I myself don't use them only because I had a really bad experience when I was young. But yeah, so we definitely, any type of items that have any kind of negative attachment to it, you know, like we said, we are more than happy for people to call us, and we will come and take them off their hands and get rid of them into a good place where they can't affect anybody. And before we do get off, if you don't mind, Linda, I'd like to give our hotline number.
Oh, absolutely. Please do, ladies. Go for it.
Okay. Strong Room of the Paranormal, and this is going to be our PPRS hotline. And it's 916-720-9012. And that's for either Strong Woman of the Paranormal or for PPRS, and that's to set up an investigation. If you just need some advice, you know, or you have a topic you want, you know, to discuss on the show, whatever, you know, we're available.
And can you repeat it one more time? I'm going to write it down this time, and I'll post it on my site as well for people.
Sure. It's 916.
Okay.
720.
Okay.
9012.
012. Perfect.
We actually have multiple people that this goes to. So, you know, we answer 24 hours a day. So if for some reason you don't get us, we have a voicemail set up and somebody will get back to them right away.
That's good to know. You know, I think it's been an incredible show. You guys are awesome. I feel really saddened to know that people call you up, though, and waste your precious time with things, and they're trying to pretend that they've had either an abduction or they've been possessed. I mean, you guys are a good service to the world. And people who do things like that, well, we all know what happens, and it's called karma.
Oh, absolutely. And it's much worse than we could ever be. So we don't worry about that. You know, to be honest, we take every call as if it's an emergency, and we come out. And so, you know, yeah, we do get some that, you know, maybe they just need somebody to come talk to them or whatever it is. But, you know, I would never turn down a case because, you know, we've heard some pretty crazy stories, and they've turned out absolutely true.
So, I bet you could write a book on them.
Well, I'm actually in the process of writing one. Right now.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was a pleasure having you ladies on this evening, and I would really love to have you on again in the near future. I hope you'll join us again sometime.
Anytime. Yeah.
Absolutely. And hopefully maybe Dr. Torrey will be on the next time.
Yes.
All right. It's been a great show, everybody. Want to thank the strong ladies of the paranormal, Christina and Jennifer, for joining us this evening. Ladies, thank you so much. And you have a wonderful week.
You too. Thanks, Linda.
All right. Good night now. And everyone out there, have a wonderful week. And remember, keep your eye on the stars. We'll see you on September 2nd. We'll return with Dr. Torrey, and be safe. Keep your eye on the stars, because the next 10 days are going to be incredible. Love y'all. Peace out. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.